The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time for yet another edition of our favorite program to sit down and record each and every week. It is Kiefer and Curry, Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, talking about whatever kind of strikes our fancy week to week. And generally, because Tony and I are just that kind of guys, it's usually in the sports realm. It's my week to select the topic.
Yes.
And Tony, I've had a whirlwind week out in Las Vegas with working and a lot of projects, but also the ultimate sports weekend. And mixed into that was the baseball playoffs that I've been watching out here. I saw, of course, probably 140 of the 162 Atlanta Braves games during the year. I'm a baseball junkie. I could stand up in a meeting and say, my name is Kip and I'm a baseball junkie. And they would all go, welcome, Kip. And it has been that way for a long time. And we could talk about some of the origins. I know you're a huge Cincinnati Reds guy.
Yes.
But Tony, what I want to talk about today is baseball goes on. I went down to Florida in March for spring training and watched a couple of games. I watched all 7 months of the regular season anytime that I could. It is this long mini series that goes on and on and on with injuries and dramas and all kinds of things. And you get to the playoffs, and in the blink of an eye, it can just be over. Mm-hmm. And what I want to talk about is for the second consecutive year with this new playoff format, there were three teams in the playoffs with over 100 wins. Yep. The three dominant teams. Last year was the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves. This year, it was the Baltimore Orioles, who hadn't been there in years, the Orioles, the Dodgers, and Braves. Tony, for the second consecutive year, after all of that time in the regular season, the 100 win teams are out of the playoffs in one round. Is something broken in baseball?
You know what is amazing too, because the top five seeds all get bounced for the first time, and those top five seeds 1-13 in the first two rounds of the major league playoffs, which is unbelievable. Listen, it is one of the longest seasons in all of sports. It's 162 games. I know some people talked about bringing it back to 154 games. It's never going to happen because the money's there. This is Major League Baseball's own making. I mean, they're the ones that started expanding playoffs. They started adding wild card teams, which I absolutely love. My Cincinnati Reds came a couple games short of that, despite the fact they were only supposed to win about 64 games this year. They had a miraculous season for a young squad. And so it kept me hanging on the entire time. But, you know, you sit there and play those 162 games, and all of a sudden, it's a brand new season because you're talking about a best of five series. I would like to see them go to a best of seven series right off the bat, because if you're going to play 162, you can go through, you know, my Reds, hell, they won 12 games on a road. Does that mean they're a World Series champ? Absolutely not. They didn't even make the playoffs. But yeah, teams get hot, teams get cold. And if your starting pitcher doesn't get it, it just says a lot about the Atlanta Braves, who got bounced again by the Philadelphia Phillies. I believe the Phillies are, what, 8-1 the last nine games against the Braves in the playoffs. It just goes to show that, you know, on any given day, you're talking about Major League Baseball prospects. You're talking about Major League players. And really, it doesn't matter how many home runs you hit. It doesn't matter how many extra base hits or what your slugging is. If you don't have good pitching on a particular day, you're not going to win baseball games.
It's so true. And I mean, you just captured it perfectly there. The Braves won 104 games this year, more than any other team. They set just boodles of offensive records. Particularly hit 307 home runs. That ties the 2019 Minnesota Twins for the most ever hit by a team in a single major league season.
Crazy.
Ronald Acuna Jr. had 40 home runs, Tony, and 70 stolen bases. The first player to ever do that in major league history. There had never been a guy that hit 40 and stole 50 before. He went 40-70. Matt Olson, the first baseman who replaced Freddie Freeman, hit 54 bombs and drove in 130 runs to lead major league baseball. baseball. And the reward they get for all of that is 5 days off after the end of the regular season while the other teams duked it out to see who would play them. And for the second consecutive year, their reward for being the top seed is playing the Philadelphia Phillies, the team with the third most wins in the league. But the Braves are in the same division, so they get relegated to a wild card spot. The Braves beat them by 18 games in the East Division this year, and yet the Phillies have the second highest payroll and a superstar lineup and two outstanding pitchers. And like you said, for the second year in a row, the Phillies dominated the Braves and sent them home. It's I don't usually yearn for yesteryear. But I'm kind of wishing for the old days when the American League champion and the National League champion played the very next day for the first game of the World Series. Mm-hmm. I love the playoffs. I love the expanded format and keeping the season relevant. But boy, it sure would be nice if the two best teams got to square off, because after 162 games, they've earned that opportunity.
You ask Philadelphia, Arizona, Houston, and Texas, they think it worked out pretty doggone well. And of course,
they're liking that a lot.
Of course, the Houston Astros, this is amazing. They're down 2-0 right now, and something tells me they're going to come back in that series. And Texas, obviously, is playing extremely well. Philadelphia gets the first victory in game one. You know, it's funny, too, because you talk about such a long season, and I don't think people think, they think they're playing a game and they're just hanging out in the outfield. They may not even get a ball hit to them the entire day. How difficult can it be with all the travel and the heat in the middle of summer? I feel for those guys. I understand it. It's not like they're getting there playing a 3-hour game. They get there 3 hours before. They're there for a couple of games after. I mean, it's a full-time gig. You're getting 1 or 2 days off maybe every couple of weeks. The funny thing is everyone talks about, it's such a strenuous long season, and they're saying that the 5 days off actually makes these teams rusty. When you're talking about the teams that, and you can make that correlation, because the teams that had the buys are the ones that are out. And I'm thinking to myself, what does that mean? It's kind of like, we always talk about in college football or professional football, you always want that bye week so you can get healthy. You get that extra week off. But if you're winning and you're hot, you don't want that time off. And what's amazing to me is you would think these guys would be refreshed and feel even better getting that time off. And now they're saying that maybe if we can go to a 7-game series, we can only give them 2 or 3 days off, it'll help those upper seeds. I think that's hooey. I think that's ridiculous. I just think it's just one of those years where the perfect storm hit. And I think the best baseball team that probably should have made it through didn't. And I think a lot of it had to do with their pitching. We always talk about parity in sports. I hate the word parity. But I also appreciate the fact that you got a team like LA who is so far over the luxury tax that got bounced in the first series. Maybe this is the baseball god saying, listen, it's not all about the cash. You got the Cincinnati Reds who have one of the lowest payrolls. The Oakland A's were a horrible baseball team. They even had a winning streak at one point, but maybe this is parity at its best.
Yeah, I like where you're going here, because you're kind of giving the silver lining to all the things that I'm whining about. Okay, I'm going to just come clean. I'm the ultimate homer for the Braves. When I moved to Atlanta as a kid in 1966, I think we've talked about on the show before, my next door neighbor when we moved in was Dennis Menke, who was the shortstop for the Atlanta Braves. So what a dream for an 8-year-old. To come to a place and live next door to a major league baseball player, befriended them, and getting to go to just about every Braves game, riding down with Mrs. McGene Menke, and sitting in right behind the plate in the players' family section, and it was a dream for a couple of years. The worst day of my life was a couple of years later, it was announced Dennis Menke had been traded to the Houston Astros. It was just like the end of the earth for me. But I've loved the game forever. I'm complaining because the Braves got bounced again, and this team was even more spectacular than last year's. But you are so right. It is a good thing. It maybe is a cosmic message that you go spend all the money you want. Go buy the best team that money can purchase. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anywhere, because if you run into a guy who's got really good stuff one day and a few timely hits and an error here, an error there, that's the beauty of baseball, is that on any given day, you have to understand in baseball, you're not going to win every day. You've got to be ready to drop about one out of every three games, and you're an exceptional team. If you win two out of three, you're just an outstanding club, and that's the reality of baseball, and that's the beauty of baseball. So you make a great point there.
Giannis Antetokounmpo was famous several months ago, asked the question, you know, is it a bad year for the Milwaukee Bucks to not win a championship? And of course, he had just an unbelievable answer that everyone heard. Brian Snitker came out and basically said, listen, there's no reason for us to hang our heads. We had a fantastic season. What are your thoughts as a baseball fan when you have a team that was as good as the Atlanta Braves? They were picked to win the World Series pretty much from halfway through the season on, and now all of a sudden they have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you look back and you will, and baseball is more than any other sport about individual records and statistics. Mm-hmm. You always say that you can look at the back of a guy's ball card and see his career there in capitalization, and the numbers really, really matter in baseball. We both are huge Pete Rose fans and watched his pursuit of Ty Cobb, which was it transcended baseball because that was his obsession. He was going to be the greatest hitter in the history of the game, despite not being the most God-given talent player. So baseball incorporates more individual statistics because when you're up there in that batter's box, you know, you're the guy that's you're not looking for somebody to make a great pass to you or to make a fantastic block to set you loose. It's up to you to deliver. And I appreciate that. And in time, the team championships are great. But this season for Braves fans and for all baseball fans, when there's amazing accomplishments, it's one of the things that kind of sets baseball apart. And it's what amazes me, Tony, and I'd love to hear your response to this. When people say baseball is boring and I just can't get into it and it's too long and they don't realize the subtleties and so many of the things that are happening in the game. And I say baseball's dead to me and I'm down on it now. I have no interest in watching the rest of the playoffs, but it's a lie because I absolutely love the game.
Absolutely. And baseball is a drug. Listen, once you're born with it and you love it, it is America's favorite pastime. It is a fantastic sport. It's my favorite sport. Of course, you mentioned the fact that I was a Big Red Machine fan. I grew up listening to Marty and Joe, and I had a radio on my bicycle. I used to listen to games all the time, and thank goodness to 700 WLW, which is the flagship station of the Reds. They can be heard in all 48 contiguous states, so I can actually hear Reds games on the radio. There's something very romantic about hearing still the Reds and any baseball team on the radio. But listen, if you don't get it, you're just never going to get it. I don't know too many people that, you know, are in their 30s and 40s and all of a sudden discover Major League Baseball and go, wow, this is a really great game. It's something that you're born with. And thank goodness the Major League Baseball has been around so long that, you know, you just love it. And it's one of those things like college football fans or NFL fans or whatever. If there's a game on, I'm watching it all the time. I do want to give props to Major League Baseball. I think the pitch clock was just a huge game changer for me. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, because, you know, we've been touting this, pitch clock for years and years and years. And usually it doesn't happen for about a couple of games, but we saw pitchers actually get, you know, have to have runners move from first to second because they threw too many times over. They stuck to their guns, and games were about 34 minutes shorter this year. So for the peripheral fan, and the beautiful thing is the purist, it did not bother the purist at all. We actually kind of appreciate the fact now that you can go see a Major League Baseball game, maybe, you know, a daily double or something like that. You can actually see a game in the middle of the afternoon, go back to work or go pick the kids up after work. But I love the fact that the pitch clock worked really, really well. You know, it's funny because, you know, when you talk about the best teams in Major League Baseball not getting in, I know there's people saying we should be reseeding, perhaps Major League Baseball. I'm not against doing reseeding, but I also realize that you did have the advantage of having that bye. I don't know if it's a situation where, you know, that is your gift already. You get the bye. You get the time. I don't know if a pitcher, unlike the National Football League, where it seems like maybe 2 or 3 days for a hamstring injury can actually bring you back. In Major League Baseball, it doesn't seem that way. I don't know if 5 days actually brings back a guy that's on the IL or not. But, I mean, when you're talking about reseeding, I think you've already gotten your gift. And so there's no reason why you should have to reseed at that point. You get what you get. You get it based on the records and based on the divisions you're in. And that's the game you got to play. And it's just unfortunate this particular year, the best teams in Major League Baseball didn't make it through.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we touched on something that's significant. These guys go to spring training in February. They get regimented into, and you and I can appreciate this because we're the two busiest guys in show business. We always have lots going on. And believe me, I the idea of just sitting around for 5 days waiting to do the next thing certainly sounds appealing, but it's not really reality. I think, Tony, there's some degree of truth in the fact that you look at these guys that grind for 7 months and play virtually every single day. And if they're not playing, they're traveling, they're checking into a hotel. Of course, they don't have to go through the rigors that you and I do of standing around waiting to be served. Everything is provided for them. But that still doesn't take away from the grind of constantly being on the move and going to the next place and setting up for a series and whatnot. And when you get 4 or 5 days away from that routine, I think that has something to do with this. I think these guys kind of sit around and get amped up and get ready for games while the other teams are still in their routine because they just continue to play. And as strange as it seems, where that should be a reward, I think it might be something that's detrimental to these teams to break these guys, you know, pattern for that long a time. They have an all-star break where the ones who don't go to the all-star game get 2 or 3 days off. But this is a real aberration, and I think it has something to do with this.
I think you may be onto something because, you know, when you look at Major League Baseball numbers, what do you always look at? You look at the numbers before All-Star break and you look at the numbers after All-Star break. It's amazing how many guys, and I saw several guys with the Phillies who were batting 297 before the break and 235 after. And I know that's the break, so that's a good time to look at your stats. But maybe that having that time off, having the 4 or 5 days, you're right. They do break a routine. They get a chance to go see their families for a few days. They've probably got people coming in that they've got to get tickets for some of these games. Maybe that has something to do with it. But there is something to be said about having the top 5 seeds going 1-13 in one season. I don't think this is just an abnormal situation. I think there's something to it that maybe they do. And maybe we pick a situation where, you know, are we going to add a couple more wild cards? I know they are actually talking about doing that. Maybe a situation where everyone just continues to play and you just have a higher seed playing a lower seed, and that just gives them the opportunity to follow through and go through. I don't know if we're ever going to see the top 5 seeds. At one point, every team that had won 92 games or more was out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, which again is great for Phillies, Arizona, Houston, and Texas. And I do think I'm kind of, despite the fact my Reds didn't make it in, and obviously I love the Atlanta Braves, I am still watching the 4 games play. I do think they're good matchups. I think the Houston, Texas thing, obviously the fact they're from the same state, and I know they're somewhat of a rivalry, I think is a great matchup as well. And I'm not a Houston Astros fan just because it seems like they've been there forever. They've gone to 7 straight postseasons. And Texas hasn't been there in quite some time, so I'm kind of rooting for them. But there may be something to it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and big props to Dusty Baker, who's been doing this for a long, long time. Yes. That's the division champion that's still standing. So let's give Dusty a lot of credit for having his team still in the mix, because they seem exempt from the getting bounced out early. But you said it before, you get a hot team. The Texas Rangers had a chance to wrap up their division at the end of the year in Seattle. They lost 3 out of 4 games to the Mariners, who did not make the playoffs. So the Rangers had to continue on the road, go to Tampa, go to Baltimore. They won a bunch of road games in a row to get to this point, and now they're beating up on Houston so far. So a team gets hot and gets rolling, and in baseball, that's as you mentioned before, the worst team in the standings. The Oakland A's reeled off 10 or 11 wins in a row at one point this year. So it's who gets hot at the right time. And that's a staple in baseball as well. But yeah, I'm at the point now where I don't think it's really good for the game if the best teams fall down right away. So, you know, perhaps to give them the chance to continue playing and maybe give some more people a chance to get in the tournament. It's certainly worked in the NCAA basketball model. Just expand, maybe the way to go.
Now, the good news is the Atlanta Braves should be back in it again next season. They are absolutely loaded. I just remember seeing that lineup. It was 40 home runs, 34 home runs, 53 home runs. I mean, every guy in the whole lineup had 20-plus home runs. It was an absolutely amazing offensive team. There's not to take any thing away from the fact that it was one of the most offensive, best juggernauts in Major League Baseball we've ever seen, and that'll be back next season. And probably a show we could do for another thing. I know a lot of people think that managers don't do anything in Major League Baseball. Don't tell me that when you see Dusty Baker, no matter where he goes, hell, he took the Reds to a World Series. When Dusty Baker and Bruce Bochy, these guys are just amazing managers. They know what they're doing. They know their teams. They know when to give them rest. They know when to put them in. They know the pieces to move. So there's a lot to be said about the managers as well. So there you have it.
Yeah, Tony, in conclusion here, I give you a childhood memory, too. I was actually just starting high school, but I had the opportunity to be in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium on April 9th, 1974, the night that Henry Aaron hit home run number 715 to pass Babe Ruth.
Wow.
The guy in the on-deck circle for that home run, Dusty Baker, second-year player, and as Hank circled the bases, I'll never forget Dusty Baker in full sprint from the on deck circle, ran about halfway up the third base line in front of where the on deck circle is. And he was just running two steps and then leaping in the air with his arms extended. It's a baseball player showing emotion, you know, like celebrating a touchdown in football or a goal in hockey. He was so fired up and excited about that moment, and to be there and see Hank Aaron do that. That's the memory, the first memory I have of Dusty Baker. And here we are, gosh, 50 years later, and Dusty Baker is still a major player in the game. He's managed all over. He's succeeded everywhere he's gone. So props to Dusty for having the Astros back in position. And I'm like you, until they are put officially to rest, they are still always a factor.
Still chomping on that toothpick, too. Hey, we're going to be chomping on some college football going on this weekend, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. It is the starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. Make sure you check out our show. Terry Quillian's a big part of the show, the legend. We have Case Kiefer giving our plays from the desert. You and I are 7-1, our last 8 picks, the last 4 weeks. We'll come up with a couple more picks. If you've been watching the show, you've been winning some cold, hard cash, so check that out. The starting lineup again, 10:30 to 11 o'clock. ABC 3340 on Saturday morning. Kip, until then, brother, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Tony, always love talking baseball. So this has been a blast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.